Our study tonight is out of Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 25, the superiority of Christianity over the occult and demoniacs. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles, from Jerusalem to Rome. Accordingly, we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the early church era as it is presented in the book of Acts. Well, Acts chapter 8, verses 18 to 25, records an incident to demonstrate the superiority of Christianity over the occult and demoniacs. And we view this passage for our insight, our application, and our edification as follows. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Acts chapter 8, 18 to 25. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto him, "Your money perish with you, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, the apostles, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. One of the men who responded to Philip's evangelistic ministry in Samaria was Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 13. We read about that last week. He'd practiced magic, quackery, and various kinds of sorcery, but it also involved demonic powers. Now, though Acts chapter 8, verse 13 reports that Simon also believed and was baptized. In fact, the word for believed is the regular word for believe, and baptized is the regular word for baptize. And that he continued with Philip being audited as miracles. Bible scholars are divided as to whether Simon actually believed in Christ, since Peter's later denunciation of him when he tried to buy the power to confer the Holy Spirit upon others arguably treated Simon as an unbeliever. It's arguably, we're not sure. But it's difficult to tell if he actually was a believer or not. Regardless whether Simon truly believed or not, his activity before his profession of faith included demonic activity. The Greek noun magia, we get the word magic or magic arts, and the Greek verb maguo, to practice magical arts, describe the former activities, and these words suggest involvement with demons. So at least he had been in demonism, and that's the important point that we're bringing out at this point. So whether Simon truly believed and then became controlled by his sin nature, or whether he had not truly trusted in Christ but was merely impressed by Philip's miracles, much as many people were superficial believers and having been impressed only in Jesus's miracles and John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. And remember in John 2, 23 to 25, it said many people believed on him because of the miracles that he was doing. But it said Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in man. It demonstrated that Jesus knew that there was a superficial faith there. But after Simon's profession of faith, he was awed at how the apostles could lay their hands on others to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not told if the Samaritans, when they received the Spirit, were speaking in tongues and prophesying, but we can imagine that's probably what actually happened, because it was a visible signal that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. This was a new group of people getting the Spirit of God, and so they were able to communicate it. Accordingly, Simon offered the apostles money if they would give him the power to confer the Holy Spirit on people when he laid his hands on them. This is what is known as Simonizing. This is the word that we've coined in our phrase, and that's trying to use money to buy something religiously. Simonize. Well, Peter denounced Simon for making this offer, He charged that his money should perish with him because he thought that he could purchase the gift of God with money. Opposite the humanly manipulative acts of the occult and demonism that marked Simon's past, Christianity was marked solely by the grace of God. That's by the unmerited favor. And that's very true. When you get into the occult, when you get into demonism, there's a lot of emphasis on human effort and human manipulation. Humans actually seek to try to use the spirits to manipulate others, or they'll try to manipulate the spirits one way or another. And that's very typical of paganism. This is why there's so much insecurity in paganism, because there's a lot of manipulation. People aren't trusting in God at all. And Christianity is opposite. Christianity is unique, biblical Christianity, because we're trusting the unmerited favor of God. We're relying entirely upon the goodness of God for our salvation, for our gifts, for the power to minister our gifts. It's all by relying on the Lord. Very different from demonism and very different from the occult. Well, in regards to this, Peter announced that Simon had no part in this matter of conferring the Holy Spirit on others, for his heart was not right before God. Once again, you can take Peter's words either to indicate that Simon wasn't a believer. You can also take them that he's just being very, very harsh on him as a believer because he's avoiding the grace of God. It's difficult to tell either way. Well, Simon was to repent of his wickedness and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of his heart might be forgiven him. For Peter testified that he had perceived that Simon was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. These are Old Testament expressions that describe apostasy, a departure from God. I personally think that it may well have been that Simon was actually a believer, because he's actually told to pray to the Lord. And of course, if you're an unbeliever, the Lord's not going to hear your prayer. You have to be right with the Lord, or you have to be at least a believer. So my tendency is to believe that he actually knew the Lord at this point, but it doesn't really matter. We're just dealing with God's victory over demonism and the occult. In response, Simon asked that Peter might pray to God in his behalf, that nothing of which Peter had warned would come upon him. Whether Simon was a repentant believer or whether he was just a fearful unbeliever, he was apprehensive about the outcome of his tragic request. Well, Peter and John then ministered the gospel in many Samaritan villages, testifying and preaching the word of God. And this is an amazing thing for Hebrews to do in Samaria. Remember, the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with one another. And the disciples did remember back in John chapter 4 when Jesus had gone into Samaria and he'd ministered there to the Samaritan woman. But that's been some time. Peter and John now are going from village to village to village preaching to these people who normally, socially, they would have absolutely no dealings with whatsoever because of the long history of animosity between the Samaritans, who were, they were mixed Jews and Assyrian, and they had departed from God. They were very apostate. There are no commitments between them and unity between them and the Jews, but this is different. The Holy Spirit has created a level playing field where these people get along. So the work of the Holy Spirit had overcome the past magical art practices of Simon, besides the deep-seated long-term division between Jews and Samaritans. So in great spiritual triumph, the apostles finally returned to the city of Jerusalem. So the lesson is, though Samaria had been heavily influenced by Simon's sorcery and demonic activity, to where all Samaria had referred to him as the power of God that is called great. That's what the English Standard Version says in Acts chapter 8, verse 10. And where there had been deep-seated, long-term division between Jews and Samaritans, the arrival of biblical Christianity in the Holy Spirit's power with the gospel by Philip and the ministry of apostles Peter and John completely overcame the occultism and demonism practiced by Simon, as well as the great division between Jews and Samaritans in Jesus Christ. So in application, may we confidently rejoice in the vast spiritual superiority of biblical Christianity to the occult and to demonism. And number two, may we align with the unmerited favor of God, his grace, for divine blessing in our ministries. And three, may we find it in our mutual fellowship with Christ, mutual fellowship with one another. I'm reminded of 1 John 1:5-7. John said, this is the message that we have received from him, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's in the revelation of God's word, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is constantly in the process of cleansing us from all sin. That's an amazing verse. But that occurs as we walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is such an important passage of scripture, especially if you're going to be working in the mission field or working with people who are into demonism. Demonism is increasingly a problem within our country right now. As the rise of paganism is going up, demonic activities are increasingly, we're hearing of people that are involved in seances. I've met people in our church who in the background have been involved in seances, that type of a thing. In the Bible school that I attended, there was a man who came to our school one time. He had actually been in rank demonism. He got introduced to it. He thought that he was meeting with church people. He was meeting around a card table. They held hands and they sang the song, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. And then they went into a seance. He thought that they were contacting Jesus. And it wasn't so. It was demonic activity. And when he got into it further, he realized it was into demons. He said that we used to go out, he said, with our group, we would have a seance, and we would take an object and cause it to rise above the ground and spin at a high rate of speed and send it out over the lake as a UFO and come back. It was all by demonic activity. And after he was saved, he was terrified of making the truths known that he had known about demonism because he thought that the power of Satan was still over him. And of course, he was reading in scripture and found out that we've been transferred and translated from the power of Satan over into the kingdom of God's dear son. And when he realized that, he finally spoke up about it. And he came to our school and he told us about the deliverance that God had given him from the demonic powers and the forces that be. There's another man my father had known. This is in Chico, California. Before he was saved, he was involved in demonic activity. And he said when we would walk down the street corner, the demons would speak in our ears and they'd point out who the Christians were, born-again Christians. And they would say, whatever you do, don't have anything to do with that person. That person is very dangerous for you. What the evil one was trying to do is to keep them from being exposed to the Christians lest they hear the gospel and believe. So when this man came to know Christ as his Savior, he became a very bold witness. And he was not afraid at all to minister to people who were under the power of the evil one because he knew the power of the gospel. So this is a very important passage in view, not so much of what we've found. Those of us who have maybe come from Nepog Church or been in Nepog Church for many years, we probably haven't faced any demonic activity or much of it, although some people in our church have. But it's on the rise, but we don't need to fear it. We have a wonderful faith. We have a wonderful God who is greater than the powers of the evil one. And what we need to do is to recognize that fact and rely upon the Lord and live in his power, and we'll have complete victory over it.